Hey, it's 5 o'clock straight up Pacific time, which makes it 6 Mountain, 7 Central, and 8 Eastern time. And well, I want to welcome you all to the WLS Success Matters monthly support group call. I'm Sandy Henderson, and I'm one half of WLS Success Matters. And tonight, I really wanted to go over setting SMART goals, since with a new year coming very soon, Christmas is next week, we all seem to set resolutions, set goals, and then want to start working at them. So let's talk, you know, we're going to be talking about how to set goals that are actually achievable and not to fall into the situation where we might have done for so many years, saying, well, I'm going to lose X number of pounds by the end of the year, and that's my New Year's resolution. But we'll talk more about that later, you know, in just a little bit. There's going to be people dinging into the call as, you know, as we're talking, and I wanted to do a little bit of the logistics of the call. First of all, *6 will mute you if you've got any background noise, or if you're moving around, or if your dog's barking, or your children are crying, or fire engine or police car or ambulance is going by. And then if you want to contribute to the call, and please, I hope you all do, because otherwise it's just me talking for an hour and I get exhausted. So, you know, this is about you, about creating goals that you can achieve. And we want to discuss it together because you all know instinctively, you know, how to do it. We just need to refine some methods, some methodology, and give you some methodology to work with. So *6 will mute you, and the same *6 will unmute you. If there's background noise and you're not muting yourself, I will also mute you from my control panel. Some of you are here because you're required by your bariatric practice to attend a support group meeting, and you need confirmation that you've attended. Well, we have made this a bit easier for you. You need to go to our website, wlssuccessmatters.com/support after the call, and there will be a form there for you to complete, and then it will give you verification that you've attended our support group. Again, it's wlssuccessmatters.com/support. And I will repeat this again, you know, at the end of the call to remind you, but you might want to write it down if you do need it. And with that, I again would like to repeat for the people that just came on that *6 will mute you and *6 will open the call up for you so that you can contribute to the call. And it looks like we've definitely got people from the East Coast, and I know that a snowstorm is coming through, a nor'easter as a matter of fact, and here I am on the West Coast with a little wind blowing, and I have my heater in the house turned to 74 because I'm freezing because it's really dry also. And you guys are under, you know, anywhere from, I think, 6 inches to 2 feet of snow. Connecticut, how much snow do you have? I see somebody here with the 203 area code, so that's Connecticut because I used to live there, so I know the code. How much snow have you got? Okay. Connecticut's muted. Remember, unmute yourself if you're going to talk. I also see Pennsylvania on here. So Pennsylvania, how much snow have you gotten? Sarah? Can you guys hear me? Hello?
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay. All right. Nobody wants to talk. I get it. Okay. I'm just trying to find out if I have live people on the other end. So who just said they can hear me?
Lynn.
Jennifer.
Okay, Lynn, where are you from?
I'm just south of Nashville, Tennessee, so we've got a little bit of chilly with a little bit of damp, but it's a beautiful fall.
Okay, good. Enjoy it. I'm glad. Thank you for sharing that. And again, we have had people just join the call. www.wlssuccessmatters.com/support will get you confirmation that you have attended the call. And I'm going to ask you questions, and I really hope, some of you answer. You're all very, very quiet, and that's very, very frightening to me because it means I have to do all the talking. And I do
Hi,
get
my
it when
name
I'm
is Karen Kavanagh.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
I do much better when the calls are interactive. So I'm going to ask a question, and don't worry if two of you answer at once. I can see you all, so I'll either give you a first name or an area code, if that's all that shows on your phone, and say, Lynn, please, Lynn was trying to talk, would she please answer, and then, somebody else. So we're just going to, play this by ear. My first question is the obvious one, since we're talking about goal setting as we head into a new year, and for many of you, into a new you, because I have no idea how many of you have not had surgery yet or who are very new surgery patients. So why do we set goals? Anybody?
To keep a routine.
To keep a routine. How does that routine help us? Thank you for answering.
It also gives us a target to shoot for so we can measure our success.
Exactly. Very good. Thank you. Anybody else?
To keep us honest.
Okay. To keep us honest. How does it keep us honest? Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I guess for me, if I say I want to do something or I write down I want to do something, it helps to keep me honest. Or especially if I share a goal, it helps keep me honest.
Excellent. Excellent. It's your own personal form of accountability. Perfect.
Yes.
Very, very good. Yeah, exactly. Anybody else? Why do we set goals? I have another question for you. What's the difference between a New Year's resolution and a goal?
A New Year's resolution doesn't give you how or why you're going to do it and how to measure it.
Perfect. That's great. I got somebody on that. Whoever's on the other end of that, whoever just answered that, knows how to set SMART goals.
It's Jerry, Sandy.
Oh, okay, thank you. See, I knew you knew how to set SMART goals.
Mm-hmm. I think goals to help us go step by step.
Exactly. With every goal, you need a plan. With a New Year's resolution, it's a wish.
Like a promise, yeah, a wish.
And a goal is a wish with a plan. And the plan equals success and the ability to achieve the goal. So that's great. Very, very good. So what's a SMART goal? Anybody? What's a SMART goal?
A measurable goal.
Yes.
With a time limit.
With a time limit. Anybody else?
A goal that's measurable.
It's measurable, yeah.
Could we say one that you can renew each day?
Yeah, it's renewable for sure each day because you're working towards it.
Yeah.
It's realistic.
You can also alter it.
Correct, yeah.
So not only can you renew it daily, you can revise it. Good. Very good. Anybody else? What other pieces make up a SMART goal?
It's realistic.
It's realistic. So if I said, okay, guys, it's December 17th. I have 14 days, and I'm going to lose 25 pounds in 14 days. Is that a realistic goal?
Oh, it's got to be reasonable.
Yeah. It's not realistic. It's not reasonable.
No.
It's not attainable. I'm again, wishing and hoping and dreaming instead of setting a goal and planning. So, yeah, that's great. So a SMART goal, you might, for those of you who are new to this program and this, the world of bariatrics, you might want to write it down. A SMART goal is specific, it's measurable, it's attainable, it's realistic, and it's time-bound. So specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound. And there are little pieces within each of those, within each of those letters, within the S, the M, the A, the R, and the T, that we're going to go over and review on how to do it. And I hope, somebody in the group or a few of you in the group will work with me on setting some SMART goals together, because that's the way that makes it real, for all of us. So specific. Anybody have some ideas? Does anybody have an idea of a specific goal they would like to achieve?
Yes, I will lose 20 pounds by March 31st.
Okay, I will lose 20 pounds by March 31st. It's not only specific, it's time-bound, and that's great. Now let's get to the specificity of it. What exactly do you want to achieve by losing the 20 pounds? Talk to me.
Feeling better, feeling accomplished, and meeting my first goal of 20 pounds.
Okay. Excellent. So the why is there, feeling better. I'm going to lose 20 pounds by March 31st so that I will feel better, feel accomplished, and hit my first goal. How are you going to do this? How are you going to lose 20 pounds by March 31st?
I will measure my food. I will exercise minimum 5 times a week, and I will drink my water.
Okay, so there's the format of a plan. Measuring food, exercising 5 times a week, and drinking water. Now I'm going to ask the hard question. When will you do this?
I will start January 1 and end on March 31st.
Okay, so then we need to even get more specific. When will you measure your food? When will you exercise? When will you drink your water? We have a format of a daily action plan coming. Somebody has a radio on in the background or is talking. Can they please? Yeah. Thank you. So the daily action plan is the execution of this SMART goal. We'll come back to all of that in a little bit. I just wanted you all to see that it's developing. What might stand in your way? what might prevent you from reaching your goal, from doing the things necessary to achieve your goal?
That's a tough one. Just because realistically, there could be issues at work or with family that would throw me off course for my exercise. So that one is, I like to say nothing, but that's the one I can think of.
Nothing is not a realistic answer, by the way.
and that's why I said that.
It's exactly.
Realistically.
Yeah, we like to say nothing's going to stand in my way. I am going to do it come hell or high water. You know, but that's not realistic. Life doesn't come that way. So if family issues or work issues may interfere with your exercise, what do you need in place to be able to still get your exercise done? What's it going to take?
It's going to take my putting myself first, which is an extremely hard thing for me to do at times.
It's generally hard for a lot of people to do, so you don't stand mm-hmm. alone in that place. It's going to take making yourself a priority. But we have a little bit more specificity. When do you normally exercise? Let's say Monday
afternoon.
Through Friday are your exercise days, okay? Just to make it easy, because you said 5 days a week. So let's say Monday through Friday are your normal exercise days. What time are you going to exercise?
Afternoons or evenings is best for me. I've tried doing the getting up early and doing it before work, but I'm not very good at that, and that's a strong place for me. So afternoons and evenings are my stronger places to work out.
Okay, afternoons or evenings. So can you define that some more? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. What time are you setting aside for you to exercise?
If I don't have a fire at work, I could do lunchtime, or I could do after dinner. I like both of those times.
Okay. So either, let's just say noon to make it easy. I know lunch times can be anywhere from 11, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock, depending on when you start, until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. But let's just say, so you're going to exercise either noon or in the evening. Is this after dinner or before dinner?
After.
Okay, so 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock?
6:30.
Split the difference. I love it. Thank you. Okay, so see, we have times now that those 5 days of exercise are going to happen at noon, and if they don't happen at noon, then they're going to happen at 6:30. That is
yes.
The standard plan. That's plan A. But what happens if during your lunch break you have to take the dog to the vet and dinner is late because you had to make up the time at work when you got back from the vet? I'm making this up out of pure just pulling it out of the air.
No, that's a true scenario, is that?
It's reality. It's what happens.
Exactly.
What do you do then? What's your plan B?
Saturday and Sunday.
Well, yeah, Saturday and Sunday is a plan. But because I know that if I let one day slide, I'm going to let another day slide. So my plan would be to tell the hubs that we're going to have soup and something I don't have to cook or something like that, and then deliberately make time for myself.
I like that. I like that. that sounds like it would work for you. However, somebody else, Saturday and Sunday, those are your pickup days if you miss any days during the week.
Exactly.
And that's good. Okay, so we know exercise, you know, that's the daily plan on exercise. We're working on seeing what, you know, what the possibilities are. You know, so we're figuring out possible ways of achieving the goal. The goal is going to require exercise as part of it. And now we looked at possible ways of exercising. But we're still in the specifics of it. So now we have, I will lose 20 pounds by March 31st. I will do this by exercising 5 days a week, either at noon or right after dinner. We also have measuring our food. Mm-hmm. When will this happen? How will this happen? Tell me more about what that means.
What I'll do is, instead of saying, oh, I don't have time at this moment, I will as I'm eating my lunch or breakfast or dinner. And sometimes I know what I'm having for dinner, so I could do it early. We'll do it at that time. It does not take that long.
So tell me more what measuring your food means. You have a meaning in your head, and if you would communicate it to the rest of the group, remembering that some of them have not had surgery yet.
I'd plan what to have so that it's not something made up, and I'm not scrambling to find food, which always ends up meaning that I'm eating a poorer choice of foods. And so first thing would be Saturday or Sunday of each week, I would create my plan and prep whatever I need and know what I'm going to have for the week so that I know that on Wednesday, because I have a 5 o'clock meeting, that dinner's going to be late, so that I can get the casserole out of the freezer and throw it in the oven and it's cooking while I'm at my meeting. And then when I'm done, it's ready. That's
specific.
The first part.
There's specificity for you guys. Anybody have any questions about that? And we're still just in setting up the specific of the goal. So I'm going to lose 20 pounds by March 31st, and I'm going to do it by exercise. And why am I going to do it? So that I feel better, so that I feel accomplished, and so that I hit my first goal of 2021. I'm going to do it by exercising 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, either at noon or right after dinner, by measuring my food, which requires that I plan it and prep it so I know what's in it. And then when it comes to putting it on your plate, because I presume you're not the only one in the household eating that food, am I correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm making assumptions because I know who you are.
Damn, I can't get away with it, can I?
not with a thing, dear. And it's only because I love you. And so we're planning our meals on the weekend and prepping on the weekend so that we know what's gone into them so that we can measuring, knowing how much, knowing that I'm putting 4 ounces of chicken on my plate, I'm making this up again, or knowing that I'm putting 1 cup of food on my plate and no more. So
right.
The measuring includes knowing what goes into the food and knowing how much of it goes on my plate. So then comes the water, and I'm drinking my water. So far we have the specifics. I am going to lose, my goal is to lose 20 pounds by March 31st to feel better, to feel accomplished, and to achieve my first goal of 2021. And I'll do this by exercising 5 days a week, either at lunchtime or immediately after or right after dinner, by measuring my food, which includes planning and prepping my food on the weekend so that during my busy work week, I can get things out and on the table quickly, and I'm not reaching for foods that are not the best choices for me. Water was another part of how Jerry told us she was going to do it. So then it comes, how much water, you know, what's your water goal on a daily basis?
64 ounces minimum.
Okay, so let's go with 64 ounces. How are you going to get that 64 ounces down, she says as she sits here sipping herbal tea?
I will have a bottle of water. I allow myself one bottle of what I call fizzy water, which is just a flavored carbonated water. And I can't have that until after I've had one 33-ounce bottle of water. And the two make up 64, but I will drink that, and sometimes I'll have a third bottle, which will put me at 96.
Excellent.
May I ask a question?
Please do.
Okay, about the water. I just wanted to know why... I didn't understand why you would not allow yourself the herbal tea till you drank the water. Is there a difference in the water?
The reason I would do it is because mm-hmm. I can have a tendency sometimes to use other liquids, though they might be good, like herbal tea or the fizzy water, but I feel that a plain water is more beneficial to my body. So that's why.
Okay, that's so I was asking the question. Yeah, I think I was asking, it's an opinion. I wanted to know if it was a fact, because I use a lot of flavored water. That was why I was asking if I should not be doing that.
As long as flavored water has no calories in it, and as long
correct.
As
yeah.
flavored
okay.
water hopefully also has no artificial sweeteners in it, or if it does have artificial sweeteners, it's not the only thing you use. You know, artificial sweeteners are great as long as they don't stimulate your appetite and as long as they don't affect other systems in your body. And for some people, they do both.
Correct, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so
yeah,
it's just to be
why.
Careful with it. But initially, especially shortly after surgery, the most important thing is to stay hydrated.
Correct.
It's the only way you're really going to lose weight, because your body has to have a way to get the toxins out. Mm-hmm. It has to have a way for the fat to go bye-bye. And so when I'm running to the bathroom every hour, I'm going, you know, it's working, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the middle of the night. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning is not my favorite time to wake up to use the restroom. But the water, you know, the water helps. So...
No,
Jerry.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
No, I'm going to say that because I am a long time out of surgery, and I'm saying this really in behalf of beginners, because a couple of times in the past few years I've become dehydrated to the point of being taken to an emergency room. So I'm much better at drinking my water now. I make sure I have water next to me at all times. But so I was just wondering if additives changed that. But I do drink no sugar drinks. Yeah.
However,
so
you can
it's so
water.
Important, the water. That's what I think I'm saying. Forever, it's so
and that's
important.
That's what I was just going to say. However, yeah. you can get the water down, get it down. Mm. I typically, my 64 ounces are typically made up, actually, it's like about 67 ounces of one bottle of 1 liter of water, 33.7 ounces of water. And then about 36 ounces of herbal tea. No caffeine, not decaffeinated, no caffeine. It's typically mint tea, so all it is mint leaves and hot water.
Right. Yeah,
however
okay.
you get it down is, you know, is the way to go. I need my water
right.
at room temperature or warm. Just drink your water. Just, so that's really important. But let's go on. Let's go on with the goal setting.
Correct. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No apologies. Thank you for bringing that point up. Excellent point. Water's critical.
Critical.
And staying hydrated is absolutely critical. So, you see, Jerry's got, you know, a real specific goal in mind. She's got her reasons why. She's got how she's going to do it, what she's going to do to have her plan B's. Her plan B's are grabbing that casserole out of the freezer and popping it in the oven. So that can happen on the meeting night. That can happen if she suddenly had to take the dog to, you know, the vet at 4 o'clock. That could happen then, too, because most of our current, you know, equipment has, you know, our stoves, et cetera, has electronics on it that allow us to not start it till later. So if she estimates it's going to be, you know, a couple of hours at the vet, she can have that oven come on and start warming that casserole at an appropriate time and then come back and actually have dinner ready so she doesn't walk in the house ravenous. She doesn't start grabbing anything and everything in sight because being not the only person in the house, there's other foods around. And it will just make life easier. Or sometimes even if you grab a cheese stick and then go sit down and have your dinner, that's more calories, more fat, or more whatever than you intended to have. So it helps keep you on plan. Having a plan helps keep you on track to where you want to go. Mm-hmm. So that's specific. Measurable. Let's talk, you know, just a little bit about measurable so we get through it all. Measurable. What does measurable, you know, mean? Anybody?
That it means that, to me, it means that I can see what my weekly weigh-in is, and if it's not going down, then I know I need to make adjustments to my plan.
Perfect. So measurable is having a means of seeing your progress so that you can make adjustments as necessary. Anybody have any questions about measuring a goal? The A part. Is it attainable?
Yes.
Is this goal really acceptable to you? Are you willing to put in the time and effort and everything else that your goal will need in order for you to achieve it? That is what attainable means. So you can say, make your New Year's resolution, or I can make my resolution is I'm going to lose 30 pounds by December 31st, you know, and is that attainable? Even if I starve myself, it won't be because I'd probably drop 10 pounds really fast. But then my body would hold on to all the calories. And by starve myself, I mean not eating at all. You know, my body would hold on to all the other calories to try to feed itself. So it's probably not attainable in any way, shape, or form. So are you willing to do, is it attainable? Are you willing to do what's necessary? Do you have the time? If you set a goal of running a marathon on January 31st, do you have the time to train This is just an example, an out there example, so you see how important it is. Do you have the time to train for that marathon? That means working up to running 26 point whatever miles by the end of January. Is that reasonable? Oh, let's make it even more unreasonable. And you've never run before. So
no.
It's not an attainable goal. Because number one, you don't have the time to do it. Number two, you know, it's not, you know, attainable. You're not willing to put the work in because you have to work, you know, an 8-hour day. You have to sleep 6 to 8 hours. You have to have time for meals. Then when do you run? When do you train to do it? So you need to look at it and see if it is attainable. And do you have the ability to do it? I want to be a rock star and be on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. I mean, you know, there's another, you know, ridiculous one for me. Is that attainable? Do I have the talent? No, I can't sing to save my life. You know, do I play a musical instrument? Poorly, but yeah, you know. Nothing that's going to get me on the, you know, on the cover of, you know, Rolling Stone magazine, so to speak, you know, to be a star. So let's make sure that these goals are attainable.
Is 20 pounds attainable? Even.
Is 20 pounds attainable in 3 months?
I'm thinking of where, like if it's, I'm trying to get back on track or something like that. I'm not going to lose the weight the way I lost it at the start.
No, you're not. Is 20 pounds attainable in what period of time?
3 months. That's what she said.
That's what Jerry said. Okay, so let's look at it. That's 90 days. Let's take the time to take a look at it. That's 90 days, 20 pounds. 3 months is for a 12 weeks. Also, let's look at it that way. It's 12 weeks and 20 pounds. So it's a little more than a pound a week. You tell me, is that attainable?
For you, 20 pounds
I was
not
using,
be attainable.
Yeah. Right.
That is something, I said that because I know me.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It's personal. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 20 pounds when you break it down. But that's fine. Let's, you know, it doesn't matter who it's for. 20 pounds when you look at it is a little bit more, you know, in that 12-week period, it's a little bit more than a pound a week. Is a little bit more than a pound a week attainable?
Probably.
Yeah.
If I did it all, yeah.
If all the other factors were taken into consideration and were dealt with appropriately, if it was measured on a regular basis, if the food planning, the exercise planning, and the water planning were in place and dealt with on a regular basis, and you know what? I'm not even going to say 100% of the time, because every single one of us is human. 100% is perfection. Is the human being able to reach perfection? Yeah. So if 90%+ of the time you're following your plan, more than likely you'll get there. If the plan is within the scope of being truly attainable. So that's fine. Next piece, is it relevant
realistic,
or is it realistic? So is it relevant to you? So, Jerry, in determining whether your goal is relevant to you, do you actually want to do this? Do you want to lose 20 pounds? Do you want to exercise every day? Do you want to take the time to measure your meals? Do you want to pay attention to your water?
Yes. Otherwise, I would not have opened my mouth and said what I did.
Made the goal.
Oh, that's fine. So it's relevant. So the main question in terms of relevancy is you need to make sure you've got the skills that you can plan the time and that you have all the resources you need. So in order to plan your meals, just real quickly, what resources do you need? Just to give an example.
I need to sit down and figure out what my meals are going to be. So, like, I'll go and look in the freezer and the fridge to see what I have available. And then I have a list of recipes along with your cookbook that I go through and I go, okay, that looks good. Yeah, that chicken meal looks good. That looks good. That looks okay. I have half or two-thirds of most of everything. Then I'll make my grocery list. And then I will get the rest of what I need. And then I will spend a Sunday, it's typically Sunday, getting my meals together and in the freezer. So that, or the items together if it's something that can't be pre-made or something like that.
Okay, and again, let's go back to what the objective is.
I'll see you coming into the meeting at 6:30.
Jerry. Hi, Jerry.
So I guess we'll
hi, guys.
Come.
Sorry, what, Sandy, did you ask me a question?
Okay, I'm sorry, there's background noise.
Yes, I'm sorry, I have a meeting I'm late for. I just turned it down. I'm sorry, did you have a question for me?
Well, yeah, you know, in terms of, you know, the realism, you know, is it realistic? Is it something you want? Again, what are the objectives? Why is it that you want this goal?
Hey, John.
Because I put on almost every pound that I lost, and I don't like where I'm at. It's not making me happy. Nothing is fun anymore. It's affecting my daily mood. It's affecting my life. And so I need to make a change.
This is relevant. And you can hear the, you know, why this is realistic and why it is relevant for, you know, for Jerry. Thank you. I really appreciate you, you know, sharing, you know, with us here. And
thank you.
And the last part is timely, you know. Is it time bound? You know, if this were a business goal, you know, then you'd have to look at, you know, cost versus time and all of that, but it's not. It's a personal goal. So, you know, is it time-bound? And, yeah, she set a date of March 31st on it. So what happens on March 31st if she's lost 18 pounds?
I don't know what happened with Sharon.
Anybody besides you, Jerry? Anybody, what happens on March 31st?
I'm going to congratulate you so much.
Okay, but what next? What's next?
Okay, well, I don't know.
Do it again.
Exactly. Do it again, or set a goal of the other 2 pounds to begin with and get there, or extend the goal time. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. However, is 18 pounds success?
Yes. To me, it will be.
For anybody, it will be. 18 pounds is certainly success.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is, you know, fantastic. Again, human beings are not perfect. And, you know, 18 out of 20 pounds is what, 80%? I'm doing this real fast. Somebody who's good at math, tell me.
More than that. It's more than that, I think.
Whatever. No. It's between 80 and 90%. we'll settle on that one. And that's great. So getting to 80 to 90% of your goal is fantastic. So you congratulate yourself and you use that as motivation to go on and set another goal. Or extend the time frame a week or 2 weeks of the goal. There's different ways to do it, but it's positive. So when we're setting goals, I don't know how many, can you all, there's a bunch of you on the call, can those of you who are brand new to weight loss surgery, who perhaps haven't had their surgery yet, can you just, you know, or are less than 3 months out, can you just say yes for me now so I know how many you are? Because I
yes.
can't see you.
Yes.
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 1 week.
Okay. There are 1 week out. Awesome. Thank you for being on the call. I can't see you, so, you know, that's my only way of getting you to raise your hand. So there are many of you who are just starting on your journey to health, and it's about setting goals. Is there anybody else who would like to spend maybe 5 or 10 minutes going through and quickly setting a goal? The really important part of this goal setting, once you have written down your SMART goal and all of the pieces of it, the specifics as to why and what, the measurable, how you will measure it. You'll get on the scale once a week if it's a weight loss goal. If it's an exercise goal, you will, you know, you'll track that you've done it. You know, if it's a food goal, a calorie or protein goal, again, you'll track that you've done it, and you can look at it and see how you've done. If it's a water goal, again, are the 2 bottles gone? Oh, you have half of your 3rd bottle gone? Right on. You're ahead of, you know, you're ahead of the game on your goal.
Earlier this afternoon,
what is it that you'd like to set as a goal? Anybody, let's set a goal for 2021. One goal, and let's make it, again, a short-term goal because that's reasonable. Your long-term goal could be to lose 50 or 100 pounds in 2021, especially if you're brand new to surgery. But let's set a short-term goal because it's easier to look at the benchmarks and then set another short-term goal and keep looking at it. So anybody want to set a short-term goal with me? Nobody?
I'm the one that said 1 week. I don't even know what kind of goal I would pick at 1 week.
Okay, you're 1 week out of surgery?
Correct.
Okay. What surgery did you have?
Bypass.
Okay. How are you feeling? You're doing well?
Yeah. No problems at all.
That's great.
Right.
How's the liquid diet going?
Fine. As long as I can have my popsicles to crunch on.
Excellent. Good job. You're doing a great job. So what is it, you know, do you have, let's not look at a weight goal. Let's not look at a number. You and your doctor need to set that one, start on that one together, what the healthy weight your doctor would like you to be at and what the expectation is for you to lose. You're very new. Let's set it somewhere else on, you know, let's set it on exercise, on water. What would you like to set a goal on?
Well, one thing that I've noticed is head hunger, whereas I don't really want something, but it certainly smells good.
Okay, so what about that? How can that be translated into a goal?
So maybe find an alternative coping, like if it's a stress-related head hunger.
Okay, so it's stress-related head hunger.
I believe so.
what would the goal be? What would it look like? What would it be around?
I don't know.
You're the one that has to find you. I can't pick the goal for you. So you have to ask yourself, you know, the questions.
Maybe when I feel that, I come up with an alternative where I pick a specific, maybe go walk for 10 minutes or a different distraction.
Drink a glass of water.
That is great. And drinking a glass of water can you drink a whole glass of water at one time now?
Yeah, probably not yet.
It would take probably
not yet, but again, if we're talking about goal setting, you have to look at what exactly do you want to achieve, where do you want, where, how, when, and what are the conditions and limitations, and why do you want to achieve this goal, and what are the possible ways of achieving it. But the big one is what exactly do you want to achieve? So you need to work some more, and that's fine. That is absolutely perfect. You know that when you're under some stress of some sort and something smells good, you want it. Not because you're hungry, but because you want it. And you know that you need to change that behavior. That's working on changing a habit, and you can look at, I will change that habit within a certain period of time, but then you have to look at how and what the mechanisms are.
Yep.
Does that make some sense?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's a lot of work. And guess what, folks? Weight loss surgery is just part of the answer. The big piece comes in the mental work we need to do. There's a lot of mental and emotional work that we need to do. We talked about it here tonight. And again, I don't know if Jerry's still with us because she had a meeting she needed to go to. I want to be very thankful that you had a long-term patient spend the time setting a goal and going through all the steps with you so you can see what's involved. And it's not, it's a process. But when you take the time to do the process and set your goal and write it down and write the specifics, what the goal is specifically, how you're going to measure it, clearly is it attainable, clearly, is it relevant to you? And make sure that it's time-bound within a specific amount of time. Then what's left is the real mental work, which is in the execution of the plan. You need to come up with the daily action plan. Jerry shared what her plan was with you all. But you need your own plan. And you need to keep executing it. You need to know what you're going to do when you're walking through the mall and Cinnabon smells really good. I had to think of something that I knew would go click, with everybody pretty quickly. You have to think of what you're going to do. What are you going to do? You're going to cross over to the other side of the mall? You're going to go up or down a level? You need to have, know what you're going to do in those instances. If you need to get in 64 ounces of water, and right now all you can drink is 1 ounce at a time, how are you going to get there? And it's not by putting 64 ounces in front of you right now because you've just had surgery. Your internals are still sore from, the cutting, the stapling, and whatever has been done to them. And you can only take in 1 ounce or two at a time. It's not going to be by forcing 64 ounces down you. It's by looking at what you're able to do in one day. Okay, today it was 8 ounces, and adding 1 or 2 more ounces each day until you're up there to 64. And one of the ways that I did it right after surgery was I had two little tiny cups, and I'd have 2 ounces of protein drink in one of them and 2 ounces of water in the other. And then I did whatever I was going to do, and I would sip on one until it was done and then the other until it was done, and then that was my cue to get up and move around so that I was getting rid of the trapped gas in my body too. So then I would walk around, and then I would go to the kitchen and refill the protein, refill the water, and come and sit down and do something else and start sipping again. But that's how you add a little bit at a time to get up to that 64 ounces of water. Any questions from anybody at this point? Any questions on setting goals and making them realistic? Okay. So now, again, if anybody has any questions on any topic at all, I'm here, and I'm willing to answer them. I'm willing to, you know, chat with you about it. I'll stay on the call for as long as anybody, you know, needs to converse, up to a half an hour. But again, if you need verification that you have attended the support group, go to WLSSuccessMatters.com/support, and you'll be directed on completing a form to do it. I just want to let you know in these last couple of minutes that right now we have our accountability group available at 50% off by using GIFTME, G-I-F-T-M-E, all capitals, in the code when you register. Same thing with our Back on Track program. We have $25 off of that. WLS Success Matters also has a cookbook that is set up for weight loss surgery patients and their families, because we only eat delicious food. Between Wendy and I, we have over 27 years of experience as successful weight loss surgery patients. So there's all sorts of great recipes in the book. And all of that is available at, you know, at our website. I look forward to, you know, seeing you all online somewhere, or you know, hearing from you. I hope, you know, anybody want to share what their takeaway is tonight? What are you taking
actually,
away from
okay, go ahead.
Tiffany, can you
hear me? Yes, yeah. I am very new, and I should be getting a surgery date very soon. I live in Nashville, south of Nashville, but I'm struggling right now, just trying to figure out how I'm supposed to feed my family. I'm the only one that cooks in my house. They will not eat vegetables. I'm struggling to stay on my current eating plan, and I want to know how other people have done that with their husbands, children. I mean, I can tell you my husband brings home a lot of junk food, and I do struggle with that. And so I'm wondering if anybody else has experienced that, or you know, what you've done about it.
Is he aware that you're going to have surgery?
Yes, and he is trying to keep this stuff out of the house as best he can, but sometimes he does slip up, and I guess my hardest part is when I see it, and it's really hard for me to not go and grab it. I can put away an entire bag of chips, and that's why I don't buy them, but he's not good at not buying them. If that makes sense. So I'm wondering.
Does he drive a car? Do you live in a house or an apartment, first of all?
We live in a house.
Okay. And does he park his vehicle in the garage?
No, we park it outside the garage.
Okay. Is there a place where if he brings the chips into the house because he forgot, that he can put them that is out of your sight and out of your reach?
Yes, right. And I have also asked him to do that as well.
It's not easy.
No, it's not easy for him. It's
no, it's not easy.
Easy.
Yeah.
And all you can do is keep having the conversation with him. Are you doing this surgery out of, and I don't care what the answer is, out of vanity or for your health?
It's for my health, and it's to be around for my daughter. I've got a three-year-old.
Okay, so he knows that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just keep reminding him that those chips especially, you know, will add to high blood pressure problems and add to other medical problems, and it's really hard for you when he brings them in the house.
I can do that.
I know. Yeah, all you can do, and you need to do it gently, explaining the reason, and not be like me who initially explained the reason. Now, you know, when things happen, it's just like, I didn't ask for that. Why, you know, why did you bring it? And I tend to get angry and short right now. It's in the middle of the winter. It's easier for me to deal with in the summer when the sun's out all day and the days are longer.
I think that was probably our struggle in the beginning, was I was not very nice about it and just trying to keep that sort of stuff out of the house, the sodas, the candy, cookies, crackers.
Yeah.
The junk food.
And you know what? Your daughter's not going to, your little one's not going to need that stuff either. Not that it will necessarily make her fat, you know, but it's not healthy for her. You know, ask him if he wants her to, you know, to grow up with bad eating habits.
Right. And we've definitely talked about that too. Of course, that's a whole other struggle on its own, trying to get a three-year-old to eat vegetables.
Can I weigh in here for a second?
Yeah, please.
This is my second time through weight loss surgery. The first time I got a lap band back in 2006 and lost 130 pounds and kept it off for 8 years until I got sick and was put on medication that one of the unfortunate side effects was rapid weight gain. I mean, like literally I gained 40 pounds in the hospital for 10 days. And so now, because of all those complications and everything, I had the lap band removed and I'm going back for the gastric bypass. And so I'm a little bit of an expert in novice stage. And so what I will tell you is that my advice to you, if it's possible to do this, is to look at the things that your husband is doing as something, because there's a lot of things that you guys do differently. You probably brush your teeth differently, comb your hair differently, sleep on different sides of the bed. I mean, there are different things that you do differently. And what I did while I was going through the process the first time, because my husband was an eater, a big eater, and he got a great deal of enjoyment. And it was a mutual thing that we shared together, was eating out a lot and sharing meals and cooking for each other. I mean, I had the kitchen and the pots and pans and every gadget that you could ever imagine for it. And so for him, it was a matter, if he didn't do it, he was losing a part of the relationship that we had shared in the past. And that's what was hard for him, was to really kind of think about it in those terms. And so what I was able to accomplish, whether it comes to smelling things or doing it, is to disassociate myself. Like I could make a big pot of chili or spaghetti or something for him, but I would enjoy the smell of it. I just made it a conscious effort to say, I'm going to enjoy smelling. Smelling is a sense, just like taste is a sense. And you can put as much effort into smelling something as what you can tasting it. I mean, this comes from pretty much a background or a thought process of, you look your demons in the eye, And you beat them, okay? So if your demon is the smell, then because the smell triggers the wanting to eat it, then I would say don't run from it. to just really hit it hard and say, I'm going to overcome this. This isn't going to be it. And then to also, what one of the things that I did was I disassociated myself from or what I wanted and chose the differences in my attitude, the things that I wanted differently, but and continued to enjoy the time with my husband, eating the meals, but understanding that he does things differently than I did. Okay? And so I let him have his space to do his thing, but I didn't take on the same role that I did before, and certainly lots of communication about, you know, because when we would sit down and eat. Go ahead.
Lynn, that's, you know, there's some great pieces to that. However, you know, there's also, you know, some pieces missing. There's absolutely no reason why somewhere along the line, it was Tiffany, right, that
yes.
was asking the question? Okay, that if Tiffany wants chili, she can't make a big pot of chili and take her half cup or cup and have her chili.
Oh, sure, I did that too.
Yeah. But Tiffany was talking specifically about potato chips and candy and soda, which is a totally different set of animals and circumstances. And initially, having all those items around is very difficult. And I, you know, I get that. And I asked. I have a lap band. I'm, you know, 16 plus years into it. And I don't drink with my meals. And I asked my husband at the beginning of my journey, honey, can we not bring even the water pitcher, you know, or the iced tea? Can we not bring it to the table? If you would like a glass of iced tea, I'll pour you one and you have your glass, but I'm not going to set a glass down. But we still had our meals together and we enjoyed our meals together, and I learned to cook and create recipes that my entire family, including, she's now 19, but 16 years ago she was 3 years old, including my 3-year-old picky eater granddaughter, would eat just about everything that I made. And she was, you know, she was still in her, you know, chicken nugget and French fry stage. But when she was at grandma's house, you know, she would eat it. And I would still make cookies for my grandkids. Instead of making them from scratch, I made them from a tub of chocolate chip cookie dough because I thought the stuff was really gross. And they thought grandma's cookies were delicious. I didn't care. I would have the tub sitting in the refrigerator and I would never touch it. Whereas if I made cookie dough, I'd eat raw cookie dough, including baked cookies as well. So there's ways we each have to find our path to what's going to work in our family interaction. So realizing, yes, that everybody does things in different ways and allowing the space to do it, which is why I asked if there, you know, if Tiffany... if there were was a place where the chips could go when he did bring them in the house so they weren't sitting on the kitchen counter. Because when they're sitting on the kitchen counter, I'm going to walk by and grab a handful every single time. And so it's finding what works, and your points are excellent. Tiffany, were you able to get something from this that you might be able to take back and use? It's also tone of voice in the conversation and the communication. It needs to be at a reasonable level where you're acknowledging, you know, the whys of why you're doing stuff. You're in a loving relationship. People are going to understand, you know, the other party's going to understand. When we're demanding, not so much, because I don't know about you, but when somebody demands something of me, the little resistant bratty kid comes out and I say no, and I hold my breath.
Absolutely. So, and you know, I think that was part of my problem in the earlier stages when I first went for my consult and discussing these things, and I'm like, okay, you've got to stop bringing this stuff in, and he was not thrilled about it. I've gotten him to sense, like you said, start bringing it and putting it in his office. So he brings it in for the most part and puts it in his office. But every now and again, he'll bring home bags, and I'm unpacking the bags, and I'm like, it's right here in front of me. So that's sort of the struggle, and it's, I know it's a lot of stuff that I have to get over on my own, and right. find a way. But yes,
right.
I definitely appreciate
that. When you're unpacking a bag and it's right there and the chips or the cookies are right there, you can walk them into his office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And boom, they're gone. They're not in your view. It's when they're in the kitchen or when they're right in the cupboard that you open or right in the refrigerator that you open all the time. And if it takes, if there's some snacks that he just has to have in the house or some things that he just insists, you can always get a mini refrigerator for his office.
And that's actually not a bad idea.
And it's just off limits to you.
I was thinking, too, to be able to thank them for doing what they're doing, because sometimes we do get angry at them rather than, you know, we're just annoyed frustrated and dramatic.
Absolutely.
Instead of saying, thank you so much for putting those things in another closet and keep thanking, you know, it sometimes it helps.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's open communication, and you're actually really pleased that it is in another closet. You really would, if you took it one step further, you know, it would not be in the house, but you can only control what you can control. So if it doesn't need to be in your kitchen, if it doesn't need to be in your pantry, then you need to provide another place for it to be, if it's going to exist, you know, in your house. And then communication is the key. You know, some of the most difficult pieces of relationship changes after surgery, all of the most difficult pieces of relationship changes after surgery are due to lack of communication, lack of clear, honest, open, loving communication. So I think...
Even with ourselves.
Well, we need to love ourselves to get to.
No,
where we
even
want to.
With ourselves, I mean, communicate honestly with ourselves.
Well, that's what I said. We have to love ourselves and speak to ourselves lovingly, as well, and not beat ourselves up. And you know, I think you're realizing, Tiffany, that it's about communication, and that it's difficult without the clear communication and without the without anger and upset. And the anger and upset is at yourself, and sometimes they're not, the you know, your spouse is not going to realize it. You're angry at yourself because all you want to do is put your hands in that bag of chips and eat every single one of them, even though you don't taste past the first one. And that's what I had to keep telling myself. You know, if I had one, I would taste it. If I had the whole bag, you know, I wouldn't taste it past the first one, but I would still eat the whole bag. So it's conversations that we have to have with ourselves and with others, but communication is really key. And I think Tiffany got that when we first started speaking. Lynn, thank you for sharing. And I don't know what your... what your name is, the woman from the 99
Karen?
Area code?
Karen?
I'm sorry? Karen.
Yeah, I'm Karen. And I would just like to say, especially to newbies, I miss my support group so much now with this pandemic. And I miss face-to-face, but I've been 16 years, and I've been quite faithful to my support groups, but now I'm missing them. And do not give up support groups. Don't do them just because they're required. Because no one understands us like one another.
Yeah, I want to say something else for all of you who are still call. Beginning next month, we're going, no apologies, Karen. It's a great point. Next month, we're going to be using GoToMeeting, which is just like Zoom, so you'll be able to come on by telephone or come on in person, so you'll actually be able to see what Wendy and I look like, you know, at the end of the day first thing in the morning. And you're welcome to keep coming to the support groups. Whatever online support groups you can find, Yes. Keep coming.
I see them Saturdays and Thursdays, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So our next support group will be the first Saturday in January. I have all my electronics hooked up to this conference call line. So if somebody can look at the date, I think it's what, January 2nd?
2nd. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it'll be January 2nd, and it's at 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time.
Okay.
So
I'm in the east. I'm in New York.
I could tell. How much snow did you get?
Oh, bad. But not as much as a little upstate, but our cars got shoveled out today.
Yeah.
We only got a foot, but some people got three.
Yeah, they got two plus feet. And my friend in Connecticut this morning, when I was speaking with her, she said there's a foot on the ground and it's not done yet. And she was on the shoreline of Connecticut, but that's what a nor'easter does is it jumps on the shoreline. I grew up in Brooklyn, so I'm
very
familiar.
Oh, good. Me too. I'm in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful, Karen. So you're all welcome to come back to all of the support groups. Again, any other questions before we sign off? This is a good conversation, ladies. Anybody else have any questions? I'm going to say happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Oh, good. And we'll get an email about these meetings, right? Good. I think so.
Once you sign up, yeah.
All right.
You'll get reminded about the meetings. But any other questions before we go? Thank you so much for participating. I really enjoy, the conversation with all of you. I'm looking at my speaker as if I can see your faces, so I really can't wait till next month when I can actually see some faces and, you'll get all of the information. And again, if you need confirmation that you attended, it's wlssuccessmatters.com/support will give you the confirmation. And happy holidays to all of you. And
thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
Let's move forward with a happy and a healthy new year. I'm tired of COVID and all it brings.
Thank you.
So
thank
with
you.
That,
thank
I
you.
Will say good night.